The title of my message today is to break every chain. And so God's already doing that, amen? He's breaking chains right now in the name of Jesus. And so I don't want to disrupt what God's already doing. I love when the Holy Spirit preaches the message, and I believe he does that every Sunday, but in some ways, it's just better if we just let God, I just kind of get to the side and let God do what he wants to do and however he wants to operate. Is that okay with you guys? I've got a lot I want to share, a lot on my heart, but as I just got a joy in my heart. I'm just overflowing because what I wanted to share is already happening and I'm already seeing. The theme scripture that I wanted to you guys to memorize, it's really important that you get memorization of the Word of God in your heart and life. I was working in the prayer room the other night, had a 15-year-old boy, broken, crying desperately for God to help him with his confusion of his mind. How many know we're living in a day and time where people are confused, they're anxious, they're discouraged, they're depressed, they're troubled mentally. And the Apostle Paul gives us some keys, I believe, in how we can break through those things and allow the power of God to break every chain in our life. How many are thankful this morning that God has broken the chain of sin that grips your heart? The chains of addiction that grips your life. Christy, we're believing for breaking the chains of your son in the name of Jesus, of that addiction. How many have been healed of alcoholism, substance abuse, broken, chains broken. Chains broken emotionally and chains broken physically. Maybe there's a bad doctor's report or sickness. Jesus can break the chains that hold us captive. And Paul says this in Philippians 4. And I want you to get this in verse 8 in your heart. I want you to memorize that this week. Because he's coming from a pastoral standpoint. He loves his church. He loves the churches that God has helped him to birth throughout Asia Minor. And now he's in Macedonia. And he's preaching the gospel. So much so that he's out on the streets preaching the gospel and he's changing things. God's changing things through him. Matter of fact, as he and Silas were heading up to the temple to pray day after day, there was a woman who had the spirit of fortune telling on her, and she would mock them and taunt them, and she would say, everybody in the community, she would holler out as they're walking down the street, these men are from the Most High God, and they are here to tell you the way to be saved through Jesus Christ. And she would do that over and over again every day. And one day, Paul just had enough of it. He turned around. He said, in the name of Jesus, come out of her. I rebuke that spirit in Jesus' name. And the spirit came out, and she was set free from that spirit. But because of that, her boss said, he's cut into our line of work here. We're just making a lot of money on that woman. And so we're going to throw Paul and Silas out in the street, and we're going to turn the authorities over to them. And get the people against them. And that's exactly what happened. And Paul and Silas ended up in prison. What I love about this story, though, you can see this in the book of Acts, is that Paul and Silas are in prison, and the Spirit of God came in that place, and it says the very chains that were holding them together, holding on to them, and everybody around them in that prison, the chains fell off of them and were broken in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. It's in that setting. This is probably his fourth time in prison, his final days in prison, and he writes this letter to Philippians because he loves the Philippian community of faith. And he's writing it out of, he's proclaiming Jesus Christ. He's lifting up the name of Jesus. He wants to give glory to the Lord, but he's giving thanks to the people of God who supported him, who have loved him. And he's in prison, he's in chains, he's in a mental place that very easily he could be in a mental chain as well. And he writes this, Philippians 4, 8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, everybody say it with me, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. That's where we need to be, people of God. What really concerns me as a pastor, what really concerns me as a fellow believer, fellow brother and sister in the Lord, is that when I see a Christian or someone proclaim and testify their story as I'm a believer in Jesus, and they live a defeated life. They live a negative life. They live a troubled life. And when you're around them, listen, if you sing gloom, despair, and agony on me loud enough, you'll get a lot of people around you to sing along with you. Hello? Y'all know what I'm talking? Gloom, despair, and agony on me. Oh, deep, dark depression. I don't have to remind you what that says because y'all start singing it with me, right? I don't want to sing that song, guys. I don't want that to... Listen, our life on this earth is a very, very brief moment. And I have to remind people, especially that they're facing terminal illness, that this moment right now is a very brief moment in the span of eternity. I don't want to live any one day that God gives me breath and gives me a right mind. I don't want to live one day in negativity, in discouragement, in anxiety, in depression, in just thinking there's no answer. Not when I believe in the things of God and I'm a child of God, that He sealed my heart with His love and His forgiveness and His claim on me. How dare I question who God is and where He is in my life? He is the Lord of my heart. He is the Lord of every part of who I am. And also He has filled me with His Holy Spirit to live in me and flow through me. Why would I want to live a life of negativity and defeat and dissension and trouble? Paul said, finally, brothers and sisters, and he says this in chains, but mentally he was free. In his spirit he was free. He said, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. The problem is we got some stinking thinking going on. I'm tired of stinking thinking. I'm tired of thinking negative thoughts and God's turned His back on me and where is God and how could God allow that to happen to me? I'm tired of thinking that way. I'm tired of hearing those things because the God I serve, He is worthy of all glory, of all honor, of all power. He is faithful. Come on, give me some other word-in-word descriptions of who God is. He's faithful. What else? He's steadfast. Yes, true. Who else?
Worthy.
Lovely. Amazing. He's holy. He's everything. Yes, transformative. He changes us. That's the kind of God. Paul says, think on those such things. Because he who the Son has set free is what? Free indeed. So look at your neighbor, says, has God set you free? Has God set you free? You guys ask each other, has God set you free? Kong, has God set you free? I'm going to cut you guys loose in just a second. I know you're holding on. Has God set you free, guys? Then why do you live like you're still in chains? Why do you live like you're still under bondage? Why do you live under woe is me? It's time to let go of that stuff. Set a new paradigm shift for yourself and say, I'm not going to be negative anymore. I'm going to let God speak through me and in me. You know, what I do every morning, I try to be faithful to this, is I quote and read and meditate on Psalm 19:14. Y'all know what that says? Psalm 19:14, the psalmist says, may the words of my mouth, the things that I speak, the things that I whisper, the things that I say to myself or say about myself. Hello? Sometimes we're a little negative about ourselves. We're the hardest people to forgive, aren't we? May the words of my mouth, and then he says, in the meditation, everybody say meditation, of my heart. But what that is what I ponder on, what I think on, what I desire, what I hope for, what I dream of. May the words that I speak in the meditation of my heart, Lord, may the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be pleasing. Everybody say be pleasing. To you, O Lord, for you are my rock, and you are my redeemer, and I remind myself of who he is. Now, do I always get that right? No. And I ask God, forgive me. But you know, little by little, we're transformed by the renewing of our mind, little by little. The more I say yes to Jesus, the more I lean into him, the more I'm able to let go and let God. And he changes my thinking. He changes my outlook. Does that mean I'm walking through a rose garden? Nope. And if any pastor or believer ever tells you that come to Jesus and your life's going to be rosy, then come talk to me. I can tell you something a little bit different about that. Because that's not the path I see. The path I see in following Jesus is that what Paul said in Galatians 2:20. He says, I am crucified with Christ. That doesn't sound like a rose garden to me. He said, I no longer live, but Christ lives within me. I'm dead in this world, and Christ lives in me. And the life I live in the body, I live by faith. Everybody say faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's the life I live, Paul said. And that's the kind of life we are to live. I'm crucified. So, Lord, it's not about Steve. It's not about my desires. So may the words of my mouth, things that I say, the meditation of my heart, things that I ponder and live on, dream of, may they be pleasing in your sight, Lord. Is that okay? You guys agree with me on that? That we hunger for that. The Holy Spirit's preaching my message today. I thank God for that. Don't be bound. Don't be in chains anymore. I'll close with this last thing here. I heard this years ago, and it's always stuck with me. There was a group of zookeepers and trainers that wanted to do an experiment on this baby elephant in the zoo. And they shackled him with a chain around his ankle, and the chain would go out so many feet, and there was a post in the middle of that area. And there, day after day, that elephant would just stay on that chain. And there was so many times he'd walk around, it'd be almost like a circle he drew in that same circumference where he could only be. He would swing his trunk, shake himself, and just kind of be there for people to watch. And as the elephant would get older and mature, they said, let's try something. Now let's take the chain off of his ankle, or the shackle in the chain, and let's see what he does. To their surprise, that elephant would stay within that same circle. There'll be a boundary, imaginary boundary, mentally in his mind, where he would not go past that line. He would stay chained even though he was set free. It's actually called a baby elephant syndrome, and that's a proven trained technique that many people that work with elephants do. Is they'll tie a short rope or a chain when they're young, and they'll let go of that rope or take that off, and the elephant's free to go, but he will not, even in his power and strength, will not break that rope or try to get beyond that circumference of where he's learned to be. Mentally, he's chained. Child of God, do not be mentally chained to the things that had bound you before you knew Jesus Christ. Do not be mentally chained to the new things that the enemy will try to throw at you in your life in Christ. Do not be mentally chained to the things that will cripple you and keep you from God and his will in your life. Do not be mentally chained in that any longer, but be set free in the name of Jesus, because who the Son has set free is free indeed. How many believe there is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain? Those watching online, there's power in the name of Jesus to break every chain in your life. Paul says something very clear and very, very profound. He said, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Sometimes we think that saying, I can lift 500 pounds without any effort, but he's going to give me strength to do so. Or I can run through buildings or leap from bounds. And what he's saying is, I can get through this. I can do this thing because of Christ who gives me strength. Now, I don't understand why God heals one person in a hospital bed and he may not heal the other one. And we, of course, we know that the ultimate healing is that the one goes home to be with the Lord. That's the ultimate healing. Again, in the span of eternity, this life is just a vapor. It's a real quick season. I don't know in God's ways why some our prayers are answered and some aren't. Now, I think a lot of that is how we want them answered, not really what God wants. But what I'm saying is, no matter if God relieves you of that or not, if God answers the prayer that you're praying or not, I believe if we pray sincerely and authentically and say, God, I want your will more than anything, that he will give you the power. Look at your neighbor and say, he'll give you the power. Get that. To endure, that you can do this thing through his strength in the name of Jesus. Right? Until he provides the answer that he wants to give you. So pray with me one more time before we leave this place. Father, and leave this moment. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for every person in this room, everyone watching online. Lord, I realize I'm old enough through this life now, this journey I've been on in life, Lord, that sometimes life hurts, Life knocks us down. There's things that we go through we don't understand. And there's things that come against us that seem there's no relief. But I find great encouragement when I see the Apostle Paul. And in the midst of great affliction, Lord, he was able to say the things that he said in his word, that to think on things that are true and noble and right. Lord, to give you glory and to say that the joy of the Lord, that's a key for us, Lord, and that he rejoices in his suffering. God, I thank you, Lord, that we would see that we are to be a people that reflect your love and your joy, God. And in the midst of our pain, we can still give you glory in the middle of it. In the midst of our difficulty, whatever that is, God, be glorified in the middle of my troubles. Because I give you my heart, I give you my life, and I thank you, Lord. Lord, I fully understand and thank you that I've seen answers to prayer. And I'm going to hold on, Lord, Lord, until I know that, and I'm never going to give up praying, Lord, and believing, God, but until I know your will has been accomplished, I'm going to keep pointing to you and keep praying, God, that you would deliver and set free and break and heal, Lord, break the chains because you have the power to do so. But, Lord, I'm also going to trust you, Lord, in the middle of my battles, in the middle of those things that come against me, I'm going to give you glory in the middle of that. And I'm not going to let the enemy take one day and one breath to cause me to be negative, to cause me to be discouraged. I bind that now in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, for setting us free today as a congregation, as a community of faith, that there will be a spirit of joy in this place, a new, refreshed spirit of joy that permeates every part of everything that we do, every event that we hold, God, in the parking lot, in the offices, Lord, in our events in Halloween, in our Sunday times together, our Wednesday night Bible studies, Lord, through the week, our get-togethers, small groups, our workplaces, God, let us be a people who reflect who you are in the name of Jesus and reflect the joy of the Lord so that when people see our lives, they can say, there's something about them that I want, and that's Jesus. Lord, I thank you for that. I ask, Lord, that right now, as we leave this place, we don't leave, Lord, this moment. And that your Holy Spirit, Lord God, I ask that you command your angels that you would, concerning everyone in this room and those watching online, Lord, that you would guard them and protect them. God, you would provide for them and direct their lives. And I'm thankful, Father, that I can trust you with that prayer and confident, Lord, in who you are. And I thank you, Father, for your love for us today, for this time together. This reminder, in Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said amen. And amen. A key that Pastor, I want to say Pastor Paul, because he was a pastor, but the Apostle Paul would say that he has a confidence. Everybody say confidence. He has a confidence and a trust in his God. And that's what I want to talk about next week. I'm going to open it up because I think that's a key for us to get through the troubles of life, the hardships of life, that if we have a confidence to know who God is and know whose we are, we're going to be all right. We're going to be able to get through those things. Amen. We love you. Jesus loves you.